Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And as they say, to understand politics, follow the money. Well, with that in mind, yesterday, state regulators announced the second case of campaign finance violations related to the Massachusetts ballot questions in the 2016 election. Radio Boston producer Kathleen McNerney has been looking into this story and joins us now to explain it. Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Anthony.
So, as we said, this is the second case of campaign finance violations. Remind us of the other campaign finance violation back in September around the charter school question, right?
Right. So remember September? It was warm. There was no snow on the ground.
I remember those days.
Well, it was also the biggest payment for campaign finance violation in the state's history, more than $425,000. Now, this was all around the September one was all around charter school question two. It was a New York-based organization called Families for Excellent Schools, and Massachusetts regulators found that they were basically funneling money in support of increasing charter schools, and they should have disclosed their donors. They were basically acting as a ballot committee, but not disclosing their donors as they should have. So as part of that settlement in September, they had to reveal who their donors were, and there were several interesting things. Two people in particular, Paul Sagan, who's the chair of the State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, gave nearly $500,000 to Families for Excellent Schools. And Mark Nunnally, who oversees cybersecurity for the Baker administration, he and his wife also gave around $500,000. Now, at the time, Governor Baker said that the group violated the law, while Sagan and Nunnally complied with all state laws. And Sagan at the time said that the Ethics Commission advised him that his role as board chair did not prevent him from donating personal funds to any political campaign or advocacy group. But it definitely was a cloud over the Baker administration on this issue.
Right. And it had a lot to do with a lack of disclosure, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. So what are these latest campaign finance violations all about?
Right. So just yesterday, we get another finding from the Office of Campaign and Political Finance. This one dealing with a not-for-profit group called Strong Economy for Growth. They funneled more than $1 million into two ballot questions. So again, the pro-charter side, but also fighting the marijuana legalization question, question four. The finding under the Office of Campaign and Political Finance was that, again, they should have disclosed who their donors were because they were basically acting like a ballot committee.
I see. So why? I mean, the question is why, right?
Right. Yeah. So this is where we get into campaign. I mean, I'll try to simplify it as much as I can on campaign finance law. But basically what the evidence showed that they were acting like a campaign committee because the only expenditures that Strong Economy for Growth had were to these two ballot questions. So here's Michael Sullivan, head of the OCPF.
The key component being when the money was raised by the C4 and how quickly it was turned around and given to the ballot question committee, it essentially made it just look like a pass-through, which, in fact, it was.
Right. So basically, this organization, if they were operating in general political advocacy, they wouldn't have to disclose their donors. But because it was on these two specific issues, under Massachusetts law, they have to say who's funding them. So here's a couple of specific examples. One, Strong Economy for Growth received a $600,000 donation from another nonprofit called QXZ Inc. Easy for me to say.
QXZ Inc. Okay.
Right, and one of the major donors of that group is charter supporter Jeffrey Yass. The same day that Strong Economy for Growth got that donation, they donated $300,000 to a pro question two ballot committee. So the timing kind of raises a lot of questions. Another example: 2 weeks before the election, they deposited a check into their bank account, $25,000. In the memo for the check, it said charter school initiative.
Okay, so, that's a little bit of a giveaway,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Not really hiding it. So, you know, at the same time, Michael Sullivan, the head of the Office of Campaign and Political Finance, said that this group did cooperate with the investigation fully, and maybe what they were doing they thought was legal. Maybe they weren't trying to flout campaign finance laws outright.
All right, but they did. So what's the penalty? Is there a penalty?
There is. So they had to disclose their donors, which we found, you know, included Bain Capital executive Andrew Balson, Rasky Berlin Strategic Communication, and Romney for President's Political Action Committee. An interesting donation. They also had to pay the state the rest of the funds that were in the campaign bank account, $31,000. So not as big as that September violation, but that's really all the state can ask for is what's remaining. And they've also agreed not to engage in any election-related activity through 2018. But there's another really interesting thing to note in this case. When we look at the expenditures and the IRS filings for Strong Economy for Growth, we also see that several people who worked closely with Governor Baker were also involved with this organization. So one is a consultant, John Cook. He played a key role in Governor Baker's 2014 election fundraising. He also received more than $130,000 to consult for Strong Economy for Growth in 2016. Two other Baker advisors, Jim Conroy and Will Kaiser, were also paid by the campaign committees for the work they did on question two and question four.
Interesting. So what does the Baker administration say about the involvement of these folks?
So Governor Baker's press people did not give me a response, though his campaign spokesman did tell several media outlets, quote, "The governor was not aware of who contributed to this committee and was not aware of or involved with its operations." Now, this morning, a reporter asked Governor Baker what message it sends that two groups with ties to people in his political circle have been cited for campaign finance violations. Here's what he said.
People got to play by the rules. And clearly, OCPF issued a report and a finding that made clear that those organizations didn't play by the rules, and they paid a price, and they should.
And I also did not get a response from Will Kaiser or John Cook, and I could not reach Jim Conroy.
So, Kathleen, where does this all take us? I mean, what's the broader implication of what all this means?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the issue is transparency. I mean, clearly, consultants work on a variety of causes, so it's reasonable that they would have common interests among their clients. The question really is if Governor Baker was involved with these groups in some way, and if so, how was he involved? Then I think there's the other question of the intent of these groups. Was this an innocent mistake where they thought they were following the campaign finance laws, but they were wrong? Or was it willful ignorance or something more insidious of really trying to hide who the donors were trying to influence this election? It's not clear at this point. You know, but for me, I think, again, it goes back to transparency of I think voters should know who's behind these questions, who's pushing these interests, and if they have any conflicts of interest themselves.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's Radio Boston producer Kathleen McNerney talking about the latest findings regarding campaign finance violations here in Massachusetts. Kathleen, thank you.
Thanks, Anthony.